Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in Acts chapter 9. We're going to finish talking a little bit about Acts chapter 8, 34, the baptism of the eunuch by Philip and how he goes to Ethiopia, and that's in chapter 8, verses 34 through 40. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And we'd like to invite you to take a walk with us along the path that Jesus walked. The main person that we're always watching is Jesus. But now, where's the focus changed?
On the people that have gotten the Holy Spirit after Jesus went to be with the right hand of the Father.
But what are we really seeing through those people?
The acts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The title of this book is actually The Practices of the Holy Spirit. So we could say the practices of people that are filled and walking in the Spirit, that are walking in the footsteps that the Holy Spirit leads them in. Before it was Jesus, them walking along with Jesus, physically walking along with him. But now the Holy Spirit is not in one person. It's in, by this time, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people. You'll see certain dynamic ones that have also had the hands laid on them. We've seen not only the 12 apostles that walked and knew Jesus, one being one that was designated later, but still was with Jesus since his baptism by John the Baptizer, right? So all 12 have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years from the time John the Baptizer baptized Jesus until his crucifixion. And then the 3 days later, he's raised, and then he was here on earth, and they saw him on and off for 40 days. And then they had to wait in Jerusalem for 7 days until they were endued with power from on high. And this is the book of Acts.
You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes within you, and you shall witness in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes within you.
Now, the whole Bible is sung, and we just sang Acts chapter 1, verse 8a, just the first half of verse 8. And that said a lot just for half a verse even, didn't it?
It says a lot in there.
And then we didn't really finish up the context 34 through 40 in Acts chapter 8. Did I just say 1:8? And that's right, because this really happens in Acts chapter 8, where the Holy Spirit starts in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost ends of the earth. Now it's going to end up through this. He is the treasurer for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He is going back, and he is going back to Ethiopia, Holy Spirit filled. Is this the first incidence of beyond, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? Is this the first place beyond? Isn't it interesting that he chooses Africa, just north of Egypt?
And I don't hear this talked about, but I thought this because what it says there, that the Ethiopian eunuch, he was in Jerusalem worshiping. And so I took that to mean that he was in Jerusalem worshiping, and thus he was a Jew. So he wasn't the Gentiles coming in. He was a Jew. That's all.
Or he could have been an Ethiopian that was circumcised because some people joined themselves too along the way.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was Jewish. However,
right.
No, I didn't say that. Not, I don't mean the not, tribes. All good. I don't mean
I'm
the tribes.
I'm glad
tribe.
You said that.
I don't mean the tribes. I meant he was a Jew. I just said that generally.
In
and you
heart.
Went, and you went.
Yeah. We got to make sure. I'm just saying that we're coming across right to folks. We're, that whether or not, whatever race he was a Jew in his heart.
Now, I have a question about that. So if people wanted to become a Jew and they wanted to be circumcised, I mean in the old time, and wanted to become a Jew, they would become a Jew. And I don't know what tribe they would fit in, but they would be Jewish if they came and was, and if they came and wanted to be circumcised. It's kind of like all of, wasn't that in the book of Jonah?
Well, the adoption is an interesting thing. Isn't it?
Well, no, I'm saying it looks like to me he was in Jerusalem worshiping.
Yeah.
And he was a reader of the book of Isaiah.
And we don't know where he was in regards to salvation either. We don't. He could have been just repented.
Right.
And seeking, we don't know really know his nationality as to, you know, his race of people he
came
from.
Well, and we really don't because he was just there and he was someone that was put as a eunuch over something for the queen. So that could have been somebody that they'd conquered. I mean, that's a point too.
And we don't even know, he might have already been, I'm gonna introduce something since baptism is talked about. We found out later on that since this is the milk of the word, we're talking about the very beginning principles, it talks about repentance away from dead works, faith on epigod, not toward, on God, the doctrine of baptisms in the plural. And that can set people free because if they feel like they've been baptized correctly, but yet are not have not received power from on high, when the Holy Spirit has come within them, maybe they are waiting at the water's edge of where their nationality changes. It's funny how we went to nationality. Where your nationality changes is when you actually die to your old race of people that you were born into and become part of God's family. And that's the adoption. That's where we are
and
part of God's family.
And this story opens up this picture that we're handling here.
Yeah.
It opens up this picture.
Now, we're going to start really talking about this because it's a very fascinating picture is where we finally are adopted in. Grafted in is another term that is used in this, but adoption is used and where we actually have a place at the dinner table in the house of the Lord. Now, I know we're the temple of the living God. Our body is the temple of the living God, but we also have a place within. There's a place of baptism into the body, it talks about. In one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. I'm just going to say this really quickly, not focus on it. But that's the final baptism where in one spirit we're all baptized into one body. But then in 1 Corinthians 10, it says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. And we can talk about this because this is an Old Testament saying. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And there was a change. As soon as they crossed through the water, Satan's grip on them was gone because Pharaoh is killed. All the soldiers are killed. And so to us, that's where Satan, when a person, there's one baptism, that first baptism in the cloud, that I, from people I've talked to over all the years and talked to them about this, it seems like there is a baptism where they decide that this world is just, I'm not part of this. And something changes within them and they start seeking God. The Ethiopian eunuch might have had that. And I believe he did. The Holy Spirit knew it.
And then you get, and then you take the element of it, of that God is the chooser. So he chooses them to be here, and then he chooses them to be here. And then this Ethiopian eunuch story, he had a person, had an angel tell a person to go here, and the Holy Spirit told him to go there. And if that ain't a direct connection, I don't know what is.
The first one starts with God leading him to the edge of the water where he gets their mind prepped.
And that was a really leading right there.
Did this happen to all of you when you really think about it? Not a man, but God started, maybe all of a sudden you just started praying and seeking and trying to grab a hold of God. And then all of a sudden, a man comes along, that right person, like Philip.
Yeah.
Trying to do good in your life, but can't do it.
And in the first one, maybe you've looked at churches, different churches, you've tried to go to see where the Lord is, and it just is not there. And then at the right time, and at the right time and hour, it's just like that 1:8 was talking about chapter 8. Isn't it funny how God sets those things up? Mm. Oh, it's just like Matthew 27, verse 50, where Jesus dies on the cross. It sets up for the 50th day. That in itself is saying, talking about the 50th day when we, the day of Pentecost, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It sets up, but it has to be the 50th day. Not a day sooner, when the 50th day or the day of Pentecost, saying the 50th day was fulfilled, they were all together in one. And then there's that other baptism. I don't know when that happened to you all, but in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. I know generally when it happened to me, when all of a sudden I just felt in a family. I just felt like I had a lot more brothers. You know, being men and women, I had a lot more brothers.
Mm. And one of the indicators that I can see that happens is when that happens, there is a loyalty and there is a commitment level that is exceeding the previous ones. And that can really put people that are close to you, it can make them feel like you left them, but you didn't go anywhere. You're just commitment level changed.
You still care about them.
You care everything.
Maybe
they are
more.
The ones that they're like leaning back and you're like here and they're like, well, I'm not with you. And that could be true.
Yeah.
People can go, people come in like that at different times.
But then when they're ready, and I've seen it, I've seen people go away for 30 years and they come back and it's like they really never left and they came back better than ever because everybody's in one of these three places once they start in this journey that it talks about in the book of Acts.
Well, I see what you mean. The people that would go away and then come back, they were at the second baptism and then they came back and went into the third. That's pretty interesting. That's big thinking. That's God thinking right there. It is.
It's just noticing people.
Yeah.
And that one is out of our control. And your heart aches for them, and all of a sudden they come back, and it's like they're just exactly where you are. God catches them up fastly. I was messing around with it quickly.
I'm listening to you, so you could.
You have to have an L-Y to be a... But you need the L-Y to change a noun into a verb, and I...
Okay.
I was trouble for my mother in school when I messed around with stuff. She was a teacher, and I was her pupil one year, and she pulled out all her hair. She was this little bald lady teaching. You know, she's spiritually bald. She wasn't really bald, but she probably felt like she was with me in her class. So did we get everything through on Acts 8? So here now, you know, this is really, really exciting. Into Africa goes truth, the Ethiopian eunuch. Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia, the king of Ethiopia or whatever. My mom used to talk about him a lot. He was a Christian. He was not Muslim. He was a Christian. And maybe, my mom thinks, maybe even a believer. He was different. I don't know how strong he was. He might, you know, had some, men have, they're not Jesus, but the more mature a person is in the Lord, the more they will act like Jesus. And I don't know where Haile Selassie was, if he was a baby in the Lord, you know, maybe he acted more like a baby in the Lord. And, you know, teenage, you can go through teenage years in the Lord too. What do you think that's like, Brett?
Well, it's, you start to get, at least for me, it was like getting technical with things and trying to figure things out and
precise exactivitis.
Yeah. Yeah. And it made things a little more of a headache because I was like going way too deep on things and try to explain that stuff to new people. And you didn't even, a lot of that stuff just didn't register. Like you don't go and teach somebody something that deep when they don't even know what 1+1 is.
I just thought I'd bring that up because when this happens, you still go through stages. Actually, this is when people become new, you'll find this out later on, not only in the book of Acts, but later on, people start with, as newborn babes, desire earnestly the pure milk of the word, like little children. He says, unless we become like little children, we shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of the heavens. So we don't start as mature. We're going to do childish things, sometimes dumb things. You know, the flesh is going to want to do that. But if we're God's kids, we will. Discipline is something, it for the moment, it seems grievous. But in the end, there's a scripture about that.
Bears the
fruit. It'll bear fruit. Mm-hmm. Anybody think of that, what that scripture says?
It's in James.
Bears a peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For those that are
exercised thereby.
Okay. That's a three-way, that's a threefold way to get a verse.
Three-way peace. So, you know, it's just not one person talking here. We all read the same Bible, and it's these things are really fun to know because you'll take the pressure off yourself. God doesn't expect maturity right off the bat. And Andy and I started in our 20s. What were you, Andy?
24.
I was even younger, 23. And you were always Ray's favorite, you know that?
Oh, my gosh.
No, Ray didn't have any favorites. I was just playing a Smothers Brothers line there.
Really?
Yeah, okay. So anyway, here it's going into Ethiopia. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 2.
But Paul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to Damascus unto the synagogues, so that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem.
So they use this terminology. Today, people call each other Christians, but these are the Christians. These are the Christians of that time, the religious people of that time, trying to kill God's kids. I'm talking about Christians. And it's the same thing. And I'm sure they have their name for people that are really walking with the Lord, people that live by the Bible. Now, they don't read. You know, one thing I've noticed Christians like to read are things about the Bible, not the Bible. They read, what do they call those devotionals?
And daily devotional.
Those daily devotionals are What kind of an adjective would you give them? Like awful? Maybe even worse than awful.
Many times they're shallow. They're not spiritual. They're just telling some stories or something. It's a man.
Watered down.
It's man's thinking.
Well, how about untruth? Have you ever really read some of them?
Yeah.
How close do you think to truth they are? Or what is it worse?
I was going to say abominable.
Don't hold back. Boom.
To try to be the truth and to mislead people that.
Yeah, that's.
Do you think Satan is going to say, I'm going to tell you a lie. Now I want you to do this. No, he starts going with God and then he starts manipulating it until you're doing wrong. And I'm talking about some of these. I'm talking about these devotionals. Starting with what sounds to be true and leading people off the track. Does that sound about right, Steve? Is that what you see in it?
Yeah. I had a family member that read those. They read along with the Bible. But then when she came to the Lord, she she strictly just read the Bible. And she introduced to me that once I went to a certain point that my eyes would be open, like I would, it would be like a light switched on when I started reading. And that was true.
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And before the eyes stay closed, what does that tell you? Does Satan like our eyes closed to the truth? As long as that works that way, and if it's close to the truth and it's still a lie, that is the worst.
That's the sneakiest lie.
That is the worst. And I don't see life in those devotionals. If you disagree with it, why don't you, here's a thought. Instead of getting too mad at me, you can get mad at me, it's all right. But start reading, put those down, don't read them. Read the Bible for a year. And then go back and just check it out. But I'd suggest you never go back to them. But if you want to go check it out later on, do nothing but read the Bible. Don't read it with the Bible. Just read your Bible alone, solamente, nothing more, no más, just the Bible in and of itself.
I really like how the chapter 8 ends about Philip and he came until he came to Caesarea. And then it goes, but Saul, he picks up, but Saul, he starts telling us about him again. The last time we saw him, he was holding the jackets, if you would, of the people that killed
Stephen.
Stephen. And now he goes, he's really gotten really angry now from holding coats. He is breathing threatening and slaughter.
Can you imagine breathing that?
That means he's... That's really aggressive there.
And who's it against? So here's a Christian, Saul. I mean, he's going to church. He's going to synagogue. And you'll say, oh, that's the Jews. No. This is religious people of the day versus God's kids that go to, that eat at Jesus' house, eat at his table. And it's against slaughter against the students of the Lord. Now, do we read all that?
And he went to the high priest so he could get letters, like authority letters for things like legal stuff to get in the synagogues. So if he found anybody that was of the way, whether men or women, he might bind them, tie them up, put them in handcuffs, and bring them back to Jerusalem and give them to the higher people, the high priest.
Well, the believers at that time were not called Christians. They were the way, the ones that walk.
And that's the term that we get right
the
here.
The way.
Yes.
And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So these are people that look just and act just like Jesus. People that are talking about the way.
And by the way, when he went to Damascus, he was looking for them. Because he says if he found any, he was looking for them. He wanted to.
Well, he was breathing.
He breathing, was breathing. Slaughter. Now, slaughter, he was involved in the slaughter.
Aren't a lot of people that commit mass murders, I'm talking Adolf Hitler, I don't care who it is, there's usually some religious background in them.
Something's in, yes.
Something religious. One religion against another. I don't ever see Jesus doing that. His whole thing was life, people's life. He gave up his life. It's just exactly the opposite. 3-9.
Steve, you want to read that?
And as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew nigh to Damascus, and suddenly a light out of heaven shone about him, and he fell upon the earth, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no one. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing, and they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank.
When the Lord doubles your name, it's time to listen. And it started with Abraham in Genesis 22:11. And the next one was Jacob in Genesis 46:2. And the next one was Moses. Those were all favored because God called them to lead people to the Lord. Oh, and another one, Saul. Oh, no, Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:10. That story of Samuel is really neat with his mom, too. It shows he was, and he's in the faith chapter. I like following him. I like his life and the way he was raised, given to the Lord.
I just read something the other day that said, if Moses and Samuel did this.
Yes, it was just yesterday or
it
today.
It was just the other day.
Was it today or yesterday?
But he put in there, even if they did it.
Yes.
He made a point of putting their names out there.
Right.
And in one place he goes, Noah, Daniel, and Job, even if those three. So people that are highly, highly thought of by God.
And then Saul. So something's going to happen in Saul, and all these people God greatly used. And then there was Martha. A lady is involved in this too, and that's Luke 10:41. And he became blind immediately. His eyes were opened and he saw nothing. He had to be led by the hand and brought to Damascus. And he was there 3 days. You know, I think loss of sight is probably the biggest shock, I would think. What do you think? To not be able to see.
If you'd been seeing?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, if you're blind, no. But if you'd been seeing, that would be, you're totally crippled.
Well, he couldn't see anyway.
Right.
He couldn't see God. He didn't have, all he had was fleshly eyesight, and God took the fleshly eyesight away from him. And because he didn't have that godly eyesight, and because he didn't have even the theorio eyesight, he just couldn't see. And it showed where he was, that he was in the flesh. His sight was totally physical, and God took that last bit of sight that he did not have the other two, where he could even think about God. With the theorio gives you an idea of God. He was brought down to the one eyesight he had. He was so narrow-minded, all he could see was breathing, threatening, and slaughter, and God took that last bit of eyesight away from him. And so he was in trouble. And he finally, it became very evident to him, right? 10 through 19 is the next context. Okay. Let's not do that. Good idea. And we've run out of time again, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."